Good afternoon, 4:30 and 88 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Samantha Morrill.
We really believe that IT and the digital economy is a game changer for Eastern Kentucky.
Jeff Whitehead of the EKCEP says his program is the recipient of a grant to train young unemployed people in Eastern Kentucky for careers in information technology.
A 59-year-old Rowan County man is held on murder charges following a shooting yesterday.
And Boyd County voters reject an expansion of alcohol sales.
In sports, the Reds go for the sweep in Cincinnati tonight against Texas.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Cloudy tonight with isolated showers possible, lows in the 70s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A spokesman for the Kentucky State Police says those investigating a fatal shooting in Rowan County do not expect the probe to take long. Trooper Scott Farrell is with the KSP's Moorhead Post.
No, the victims are pretty sure about what they've gathered so far to determine how it's going to come out.
59-year-old Teddy Johnson is being held in the Rowan County Detention Center after being charged with murder in connection with Tuesday's fatal shooting of 24-year-old Marvin James Atkins. The Emerson man was killed at a residence on Brown Ridge Road near the Elliott County line. It is alleged Johnson shot Atkins during a dispute. Atkins had been dating Johnson's daughter.
A Jeffersonville woman has been arrested in connection with two area murders. Kentucky State Police say 26-year-old Talmadge Branham was taken into custody yesterday in Montgomery County. She faces charges of murder and tampering with physical evidence and is the fourth person arrested in connection with the deaths of Brandy Davidson and Devin Payton. Also charged is 31-year-old Carla Hunt of Owingsville, 28-year-old Eugene Wade Jr. of Shelbyville, and 24-year-old Devontae Hall of Dayton, Ohio. Branham is lodged in the Montgomery County Detention Center.
Three employees of Tri-State Family Medical Center in Louisa have pleaded innocent to Medicaid fraud and other charges in Lawrence County. WSAZ is reporting that 63-year-old Dr. Alfred Baldera and Janice and Kevin Gauze, both 47 years old, appeared in a Lawrence County court. Baldera is also accused of forgery of a prescription and unlawful dispensing of controlled substances. Pretrial hearings for all three have been set for December 9th.
The Appalachian Regional Commission and Departments of Commerce and Labor today announced grants of nearly $39 million to assist communities and workers affected by the changing economics of America's energy sector. The awards include $2.7 million for the Eastern Kentucky Concentrated Employment Program. Director of the EKCEP, Jeff Whitehead, says the money will be used to train 200 unemployed young adults for careers in information technology. He says the 33-week program begins in September at Big Sandy Community and Technical College.
That first class, that first opportunity, starts just next month with 50 people. And they will begin their journey into a new career and a new future, really, in Eastern Kentucky. So we are thrilled to have the fuel that is going to propel us to make this a great success.
Whitehead spoke during a conference call from Huntington. The ARC says a total of 29 economic and workforce development projects are being funded by the grants. It's estimated they'll create or retain about 3,400 jobs.
Kentucky Power has passed out nearly $154,000 in grant money to two Eastern Kentucky organizations. Big Sandy Community and Technical College has received $75,000. Officials at the school will use the money to train 700 technicians and fund its Advanced Technology Center. KP spokeswoman Allison Barker says this is the company's way of giving back.
These grants are funded through the Kentucky Economic Development Surcharge that was approved by the Kentucky Public Service Commission, and we started collecting money for that in July. For every 15 cents that a customer pays per month, company stockholders match that. And what we're able to do with that money is generate about $600,000 a year that we're able to put back into the community.
Meanwhile, Christian Appalachian Project received over $58,000 in incentives from Kentucky Power for adopting multiple energy-saving projects.
The Kentucky Department of Corrections has finally reimbursed Round County for the cost of the design and engineering phases of its $21 million jail project. Under state law, the DOC must cover those expenses for any county that builds a new detention center. The department had balked at giving Round County its money because it said it didn't have the funds. However, the Moorhead News says DOC Commissioner Rodney Brewer last Friday gave Judge Executive Walter Blevins a check for over $931,000. Blevins credits two local legislators for getting Round's money put in Kentucky's new budget during their 2016 session.
I want to thank Rocky Atkins for all his hard work on that. Rocky led the charge in the House. And then I'll give some credit to Steve West. He did his part as well, our senator now.
Round County had threatened to sue the Department of Corrections to get the money it was owed.
Eastern Kentucky University is deciding if it will cut academic majors and minors with low enrollment. Here is KNN's Kurt Darling.
The university's Academic Affairs Council will vote on September 15th on a recommendation to cut or suspend 21 programs. The recommendation comes from a preliminary report from the school's Academic Budget Review Subcommittee. EKU spokeswoman Christy Middleton says the recommendation doesn't mean that those programs will be cut, but instead they will be reviewed. The final recommendations will be sent to the Board of Regents in December. I'm Kurt Darling.
Boyd County residents have soundly rejected an expansion of alcohol sales. The proposal to limit the sale of liquor everywhere in the county was defeated in Tuesday's special election. The no votes outnumbered those who favored the issue by about 1,100. Turnout was 17%. Prior to the vote, Ashland Mayor Chuck Charles expressed concern about how expanded sales could cost the city about $600,000 it now collects in liquor taxes. He tells WSAZ he never considered it a city versus county matter.
Originally, we just wanted people to be very aware of what they were voting for, because originally, and the petition actually said that it was for package stores, and later on it came out that it was going to be for a full wet dry vote.
The results of the election are expected to be certified before the end of the week.
According to the Maysville Ledger Independent, Robertson County has not held a wet dry vote in almost 30 years, but that's about to change. MSPR's Kenzie Thompson reports.
Robertson County voters next Tuesday will get another shot at possibly legalizing alcohol sales there. Before that happens, though, the county library will host a gathering Thursday where a speaker from the Kentucky Alcohol Beverage Control Agency will talk about the matter and answer questions. A public information meeting last week included a speaker who warned of the dangers of drinking and the cost to the county for additional police and jail service if alcohol sales are approved. Several churches have posted signs opposing the proposal, while some residents have erected signs supporting it. Advocates believe that allowing liquor sales will lure more business to Robertson County and help grow the community. Reporting from Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
Kentucky Secretary of State says a web portal she launched in March to make it easier to register to vote or change registration has been accessed more than 100,000 times. Allison Lundergan-Grimes told state lawmakers in Frankfort Tuesday that 37,000 people have filed applications on the site.
11,000 of those applications are new registered voters. The remaining 26 are folks that are updating their registration. They're changing their address, perhaps changing their party, giving us additional information for their voter registration file.
Grimes says new registrations total 6,200 Democrats and 3,200 Republicans. She says 16,000 Democrats updated their registrations compared to 9,000 Republicans. The Secretary of State's web portal is govoteky.com.
Jim Gray says look for his campaign for the U.S. Senate to kick into high gear early next month. The Lexington mayor and Democratic nominee for the seat, now held by Republican Rand Paul, says he's taking his effort to every part of the state. Gray tells CN2's Pure Politics he's anticipating a frenetic fall.
We're dialing up the race. It's Labor Day. Traditionally, races and campaigns really gear up around Labor Day, and we're hitting that stride as we speak. I'm excited about the campaign. I'm enthusiastic about the campaign. I'm enthusiastic when I hear people are enthusiastic themselves. You know, everyone likes to see a vigorous campaign.
Gray made his comments after touring the Agri-Science Center in Lexington on Tuesday.
The president of a Lexington-based nonprofit science and tech firm says the 3D revolution is here to stay. Chris Kimmel heads the Kentucky Science and Technology Corporation. He says 3D printing and manufacturing is still developing, and it'll probably create many employment opportunities for years to come.
I think it's going to explode. I mean, you're going to get just displacement, but then you get, you know, creation of new kinds of jobs. In fact, you talk about 3D printing. We're actually working with a company in Louisville right now, working with them to design a 3D tissue printer that we might try to put on the space station.
Kimmel says 3D is an especially exciting field for young people. He says he's working with college and even high school students now on the design of various 3D projects.
If Kentucky doesn't get a handle on its substance abuse problem, it's going to take a back seat in the competition for new businesses and jobs. That's the view of State Representative Mike Denham. The Democrat is a banker in Maysville and serves on the House Economic Development Committee. He says he meets with employers frequently and discusses their needs.
Here's what their number one concern was in regard to the workforce. The number of drug test failures with the applicants that they see. And I want to tell you, it's a serious problem. They're telling me anywhere from 40 to 65% of their applicants are failing drug tests.
Denham says if those figures are accurate, prospective businesses will look elsewhere for the workers they need.
Governor Bevin changes his proposal to overhaul the state's Medicaid program and submits it to the federal government for approval. KNN's Paul Miles reports.
The new proposal will cover allergy testing and private duty nursing for about 400,000 Kentuckians who have health insurance through the state's expanded Medicaid program. People who are in hospice care, have HIV or AIDS, and receive federal disability benefits will also not have to pay premiums or co-pays. And the elimination of automatic dental and vision benefits will be delayed by 3 months. I'm Paul Miles.
A northern Kentucky lawmaker says he has changed his mind about raising the state's minimum liability coverage for auto insurance above $10,000. Republican State Senator John Schickel says he initially favored such a move, but now believes it would only result in more economically distressed families canceling their insurance altogether.
You know, they're buying their cars at these finance places, and if they cut, that's where they're going to cut, and then you have an uninsured motorist out there, which is something none of us want.
Schickel is a member of the Senate's Banking and Insurance Committee. Kentucky insurance company representatives say almost 16% of the state's motorists are currently uninsured, and raising the minimum liability would increase everyone's premiums. Indiana recently hiked its liability coverage for vehicles to $25,000.
Repairs began today to an embankment slip on Kentucky 3056 near Maysville. Department of Highway spokesman Alan Blair says it'll be necessary to close the road between 7 a.m. and 4 p.m. weekdays for the next couple of weeks.
They'll have to work on this during the daytime hours and close that road because it's a narrow road and they will need room for the equipment. And it will take about 2 to 3 weeks, depending on the weather, to get the T-rail driven into the ground and stabilize the roadway and get it all fixed back up so that it can carry traffic.
Blair says motorists can use Kentucky 1597, State Route 8, and U.S. 68 to detour around the project. He says it won't impact school bus traffic.
And finally this afternoon, the improvements made in the last few months to Rowan County's old jail and its Veterans Museum are only the beginning. So says a local man spearheading those efforts at the two 80-year-old buildings on Moorhead's Courthouse Square. While both facilities have been cleaned on the outside, several upgrades have also been made to their interiors. Gary Lewis is with the Rowan Historical Society. He says while his group got a significant amount of money from the county fiscal court to help refurbish the buildings, it also did a lot of private fundraising, a process that he predicts will continue for the next couple of years.
You know, when we started this project, we really didn't expect to have, you know, we thought it would probably take at least 3 years, or some said even 5 years, to complete the project. You know, but this being the first spring, I mean, you know, we didn't really have access to the buildings until, you know, late in the year last year.
Lewis says the volunteers began with $20,000 on hand for the restoration work. He notes that they have about $5,000 left, with much of it likely earmarked for some electrical work at the old jail. That structure will eventually become an art studio.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, mostly cloudy with isolated showers and thunderstorms. Areas of valley fog developing late and lows in the lower 70s. The chance of rain overnight is at 20%. For Thursday, mostly sunny with isolated showers and thunderstorms in the morning. Highs around 90 degrees tomorrow and the chance of rain is at 20%. Thursday night, mostly clear with patchy valley fog near dawn. Lows in the lower 70s. It is currently 87 degrees in Ashland, 86 degrees in both Flemingsburg and Inez, 88 degrees in Lexington, 87 in Winchester. Right here on the campus of Morehead State University, it is 88 degrees.
4:46, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It is mighty nice to be with you on this Wednesday afternoon. On our feature segment, despite the Federal Drug Enforcement Administration's decision to keep marijuana illegal for any purpose, a Kentucky senator says he will file a bill again next year to legalize cannabis for medical use. The Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyre has more.
State Senator Perry Clark says the DEA's recent decision to continue classifying marijuana as a Schedule I drug on par with heroin won't stop him from trying to pass a medical cannabis bill in Kentucky. Clark has introduced legislation during the last three sessions of the General Assembly, and he says he will try again in 2017. Clark, a Democrat from Louisville, says lawmakers are inching closer to supporting the use of cannabis for medicinal purposes.
There is movement within the General Assembly. There's a lot of tacit approval underneath, but very few people want to come forward.
Clark says he was disappointed in the DEA's decision to keep marijuana illegal for any purpose, but he saw it coming despite piles of studies showing it can be an effectual medication. In Clark's words, the science is out there.
You know, it's funny when you have the federal bureaucracy alone that makes these kind of calls without going to the elected will of the people. 25 states have done measures with medical cannabis, and they have not done this willy-nilly.
For example, Montana, which passed its first medical pot initiative in 2004, only to have the legislature gut it, effectively cutting off the majority of patients. Now, a marijuana initiative is on the ballot there in November. Kate Haliva with the Montana Cannabis Industry Association takes issue with the DEA's claim that there are no adequate safety studies proving marijuana has health benefits.
Maybe they're not all American studies, but there's an abundance of studies out of Israel, Spain, Japan. So it's just simply not true that there's not research demonstrating a medical application for cannabinoids and the plant-based ones in marijuana.
The DEA did say it will make it easier to study medical marijuana by allowing more research institutions to grow the plants. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
4:48, all things considered from NPR at 5 o'clock, and Tanner has sports in just a moment.
Support for MSPR comes from the 24th annual Poppy Mountain Bluegrass Festival, September 9th through 17th at Poppy Mountain Campgrounds off US 60 East in Morehead. More than 40 bands featuring the Lonesome River Band, Dave Evans, Larry Cordell, Spiny Brothers, John Anderson, Russell Moore, and Third Time Out. Camping, ATV trails, daily and weekend passes available. Tickets at 606-784-2277 and online at poppymountainbluegrass.com.
Going for the Lone Star Sweep. Good afternoon. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd. The Cincinnati Reds are back in action at Great American Ballpark this evening. Dan Strelley extended his surge since the All-Star break by pitching six innings, and Joey Votto drove in a pair of runs to lead the Cincinnati Reds over the Texas Rangers 3-0 last night. Hoping to get the sweep in their two-game series, game time this evening is set for 7:10. The San Diego Chargers have withdrawn their contract offer to first-round draft pick Joey Bosa and will restructure a new deal that takes into account his absence from the team. The Chargers' statement today said they believe Joey will be unable to contribute for the full 16-game season without the adequate time on the practice field, in the classroom, and in preseason games. They characterized their previous offers to the Ohio State defensive end as fair and structurally consistent with the contracts of every other Charger player. Bosa is the only first-rounder who has not signed with his team. A not guilty plea has been entered in on behalf of a Notre Dame cornerback accused of tackling a police officer and punching him during an altercation outside a bar. St. Joseph Superior Court Magistrate Elizabeth Hardkey entered the preliminary plea Wednesday for Devin Butler on felony counts of resisting law enforcement and battery against a public safety official. Butler wore a white shirt and black tie during the court appearance. He declined to comment afterward. Butler was arrested Saturday, hours after Indiana State Police arrested five teammates about 40 miles south of South Bend on misdemeanor marijuana and gun charges in a separate incident. No doubt about it, the Morehead State Football Eagles are going through this year's preseason practices with a different idea of who they are. After scoring their first winning season since 2007 last fall, senior safety Brandon Lauder says the Eagles are approaching things with a lot more confidence.
We've came in with a different mindset. We've realized that 7-4 isn't good enough. Like, nothing less than the ring or anything less than the ring is unsatisfactory. So we're trying to just make it.
MSU has announced it's losing sophomore running back Brent Holman for an undetermined amount of time because of a leg injury. The native of Paris, Kentucky, was second on the team with 407 yards rushing last season. Rowan County football coach Gene Peterson says it's been tough for his team to prepare for its next opponent, Bath County. Peterson says that's because Bath coach Johnny Pointer changes the Wildcats' offensive and defensive approaches for every game.
Basically, we're just going to go through our practices. You know, we're going to work against every type of defense that we normally do every week. We're going to see every front, and we're going to practice against that. And that's the way we have to go into the game. Not, you know, because from one week to the next, you never know when you have an option offense what a team is going to try to do to you.
The 0-1 Vikes face Bath on Friday night at 7:30 in their home opener. The Morehead State men's basketball team is back on campus and has started individual and conditioning work. Coach Sean Wood says his players, including MSU's five newcomers, got started with that process Monday.
Do it really well for the first time, for the first day. But those young guys, you know, they got acclimated to it in the summer. So, you know, that was really good. That's the beauty of having kids here in the summertime.
The basketball Eagles will be able to start full-scale team practices in early October. Lakers fans packed Los Angeles City Hall chambers to witness the mayor and other officials declare Kobe Bryant Day in honor of the retired NBA superstar. Councilman Jose Huizar said Wednesday's declaration in the city's way of thanking Bryant for his excellence on the court and philanthropic efforts across Los Angeles. Bryant attended with his pregnant wife and their two daughters. He called the experience surreal. Fans cheered and chanted Bryant's name as he was presented a framed proclamation by Mayor Eric Garcetti and Council President Herb Wesson. The Morehead State soccer team has a road game tomorrow evening at Bowling Green. After dropping their scrimmage at Louisville 5-0, the Eagles lost their season opener last Friday at Illinois 2-0. Coach Warren Lipka says they played much better defensively in Game 2, adding MSU's next step is to take advantage of transition opportunities on offense.
Well, that's something that we haven't had. And you know, I think they just kept on thinking about defending and our shape and how we're going to defend as a group. But now they've got to accelerate their game even more to, okay, we win the ball. Let's find the target. Let's get the ball off the target. Let's get numbers forward and get ourselves a goal now.
After tomorrow, the Eagles soccer team will look ahead to a Monday road contest at Northern Kentucky. After scoring victories last night, both Round County soccer teams will play again tonight. The 1-1 Lady Vikings entertain Paris at 6 o'clock. At this early juncture of the season, Round coach Alan Evans says he's more worried about his team and less about his opponents.
We got to focus on Round County, and so we got to focus on our defense and making sure the rotations are correct and players that are stepping up, coming off the bench for substitutions, know their role when they go in and know who's supposed to be marked up tight and to understand their attack.
As for the 1-1 Round boys, they'll play at Bath County this evening. And finally, this afternoon, Roger Federer says he's contemplated scenarios in which he would play in the Olympics and skip the U.S. Open and vice versa. In the end, his bulky left knee wouldn't allow him to do either. The 17-time major champion was in Manhattan on Wednesday to talk about playing tennis next year at the new Laver Cup team event. But for the first time since 1999, he's not preparing for the U.S. Open. Federer had an arthroscopic procedure on his knee in February to repair torn cartilage, then later missed the French Open because of a bad back. He hasn't played since losing in the semifinals at Wimbledon and announced in late July that he would sit out the rest of the season. And that's a check of sports for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Tanner Boyd.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Morehead State soccer and volleyball season tickets are now available. Soccer begins its season by hosting Evansville on September 2nd, and volleyball hosts Wright State on September 6th. Tickets from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed lower, with healthcare shedding more than 1.5% as a group, while investors eagerly awaited a speech from Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen. And the Dow at the close finished with a loss of 65.82 at 18,481.48. The S&P 500 was down 11.46 at 2175.44, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 42.38 at 5217.69. The iShares NASDAQ Biotechnology ETF shed 3.38% in afternoon trading. Biotechs were stronger earlier, but these gains were erased after Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton tweeted about the recent price hike on EpiPens. And, of course, that sparked fears about government intervention into drug pricing. U.S. crude oil settled 2.75% lower at $46.77 a barrel after the Energy Information Administration said U.S. crude stockpiles rose by 2.5 million barrels. And also, existing home sales for July fell 3.2%, more than expected. New home sales data released yesterday actually reached their highest levels in almost 9 years. RBC reported better-than-expected quarterly results, with funds set aside to cover bad loans falling thanks to higher oil prices. And Lazy Boy reported an almost 2% drop in same-store sales for its fiscal first quarter, and also earnings came in below expectations, and the stock was hammered as it dropped more than 12.5%. Gold futures for December delivery settled $16.40 lower at $1,329.70 an ounce. Among your Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Nike and Chevron, and your worst performers were United Health Group and Merck. In the S&P 500, your best performers were Kroger and Corvo, and your worst performers were Newmont Mining and Freeport-McMoRan. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated down 31 cents at 115.36, CSX down 5 cents at 28.48, AK Steel down 22 cents at 4.61, Marathon Petroleum up 4 cents at 41.97, AEP up 8 cents at 66.36, and Anthem was down $1.50, finishing at 127.62. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main, next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Moorhead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday, catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
Taking another look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, mostly cloudy with isolated showers and thunderstorms. You can expect areas of valley fog late and lows in the lower 70s. The chance of rain overnight is at 20%. For Thursday, mostly sunny with isolated showers and thunderstorms in the morning. Highs around 90 degrees, and the chance of rain tomorrow is at 20% as well. 87 degrees in Ashland, 86 in Flemingsburg and Inez, 88 degrees in Lexington, 87 in Winchester. Right here in Moorhead, it is currently 88 degrees.
And that will bring the curtain down on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Tanner Boyd, Arlo Barnett, Ashley Chapman, Jacob Lindberg, Kenzie Thompson, and Chaz Jenkins from the Kentucky News Network, Paul Miles, and Kurt Darling. Our feature this afternoon was from Greg Stottlemyre of the Kentucky News Connection. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Samantha Morrill and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.